I think we've sung some of them here before, but we'll learn them together. And just lift up your voice and praise the Lord with these songs. They're beautiful songs here. If the brothers could bring up How Great Is Our God on the screen, we'll start with a chorus. Amen. He's so great, we can't even fathom how great our God is. I have a picture. Some of you may have never heard of it before, but it's called the Pale Blue Dot. And NASA, back in the early 2000s, they sent, I think it was the Odyssey or one of the Hubble scopes. And when the Hubble scope went 1 billion miles out into space, it turned around and took a picture of Earth. And when it sent the picture back, NASA couldn't find Earth. And they kept zooming in, and there's one little tiny, tiny pale dot. It was 1 by 1 pixel, and that was Earth. So far, so great is our God, to where all of our problems, and when you see something like that, you see how great God is and how small all of our problems are. And that's why we should trust in Him and in His Word and what He says about us. Amen. Amen. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God? Oh, sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. He's so great. Let's sing it once more. Oh, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. The splendor of a king, oh, he's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Oh, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Oh, the Godhead three are one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Oh, he's the name above all names. He's so worthy of all praise. And my heart will
sing, how great is our God. And He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Just worship Him. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Let's go to the first verse. He's the splendor of a king. Oh, the splendor of a king. He's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. And He wraps Himself in light. Darkness tries to hide. Darkness tries to hide. And trembles at His voice. And trembles at His voice. Takes all the fear away. How great, oh, is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Age to age and age to age He stands, and time is in His hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. What a great revelation. The Godhead three are one. Oh, Father, Son, and Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. Oh, He's the name above all names. And He's worthy of all praise. Sing, how great is our God. For He's the name above all names. Oh, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Let's sing that chorus once more. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Hallelujah. Amen. The name above all names. Amen. Amen. Let's, if the brothers would pull up the next song, when I think about the Lord. I tell you, I like that verse there in that previous song where it says, and darkness tries to hide, but it trembles at its voice, because fear can't stay in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Anything we have, the devil tries to give us, just bring it to the Word and it has to leave.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. And when I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. And when I think about the Lord, and how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. And when I think about the Lord, and how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. Let's all stand. And when I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. And when I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank the Lord this afternoon that He's given us His promises.
I tell you, I think of the new birth when I read those lyrics of that song, how He gave me the Holy Ghost. He turned me around, put my feet on a solid revelation in this age. All the glory and honor goes to Him. Amen. Let's change the order of the service this afternoon as our brother comes with the preaching of the Word. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see You.
Amen.
I want to see You. To see You. as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love.
Amen.
We sing, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Take a look around. You might find him. All right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn back in your scriptures where we were this morning to Ephesians 2, then Ephesians 1, and then Romans 8, we'll try to get on with our thought. I had someone that asked me to comment on something I spoke on there Wednesday, but I'll not do it today because it'd take a whole message to answer a comment. So we'll try to do that later, okay? Just remember, pray one for another. Remember the sick ones and things, and keep in touch with all of these that are sick. So you know us, we're so backward till we can't keep in touch. So you have to keep in touch with us, all right? We're not set up to handle all of it. I try to call people, and just all I can do is call and leave a message. If they call me back, because I'm not able to do all of these things on the computer, so I'm sorry for that, but at least I can call and say, call me back. If you don't get the message, I'm sorry, but just remember, pray one for another. The Lord willing, Brother Aaron will be ministering for us Wednesday, so remember that. Wade and them be on their way back tomorrow, and many others are traveling, so keep them in your mind. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 8. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy grace and love. Thank you for all things, because we know that all things are given unto us freely. So we thank you. Just have your way with our hearts and our lives. Forgive our sins. Keep us in your grace. Let your light and your love be with each one. Guide us now as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts and deliver us from ourselves, because that's our main point. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, that not of yourself, excuse me. It is the gift of God. Okay, back up just one page, and we'll start verse 3, chapter 1, Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Okay, let's go to Romans. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, to try to continue our thought, what was it this morning? We've been talking on the new birth, that it is justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes the new birth. Okay? All right? And in doing that, then all people who receive the new birth, Now, we're not talking about the points of where you come into your anointed ones or anything like that. We're talking about the new birth. All who receive the new birth, it's the same new birth. There's not a new birth for this group of people and a new birth for that group of people. It's the same new birth. Well, you know, a baby in the natural, it's the same natural things of a birth happens, you know, no matter who it is. So then all is the same. It doesn't matter. You say, we're not any different. It's always the same. And each age had the new birth. It was the Holy Ghost in each age to shine forth to the people of that age and to give a new birth. All right. So then all that receive the new birth have to go through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but all I done was just, see, you're on to what I was saying this morning. The new birth is the new birth. You crying, shouting, feelings, emotions, all of that goes with the new birth. Yes, because you can't, I don't believe in having a stillborn birth. I believe in having emotional feelings with a new birth. I believe in all of the expressions of shouting, crying, and seeing visions or hearing angels or whatever. I believe, I listen to your experience and I'll agree and believe it. You know, but then I just turn back and ask the same question that I did and always have. What is the new birth? Well, it's not the shouting and the crying. That's the after effects. That's the baby after it gets here. It's going to cry. All right. But you know what I found with babies there to show you that they're all the same. I've never noticed any of these babies back here that were from different countries. You know, when they cry, they all cry in American. Right. I mean, I can understand them. Can't you? All right. They all cry the same. I've never heard a dog, you know, and I've been in foreign countries and things, you know, and then Brother Brady there, when he had that old peacock, that was one peacock I wanted to eat for lunch or supper, but that's all right. But they all sound the same. All right. See, it's growing up and what we're set in the stages of things that determines a lot of things to us. All right. But still, the new birth is the new birth, and everybody has the same new birth. You say, yeah, but this was shouted. No, that's not the birth. That's all I've tried to get you to see. That's not the birth. The birth is preceded to that. That is the after effect. As I was trying to express this morning, I say, get up. If you want to be prayed for sickness or salvation, come down here. Well, see, it's settled when you get up. When you get up and walk this way, it's settled because you done made up your mind. You done set it in motion. All I do is just pray for the Lord to do things. And I like the way Brother Moat used to pray. He had a unique way of praying for people. And he would pray this way. He'd say, Lord, said, now they're seeking the new birth. And said, now, Lord, would you give just a little tug on the heart to let them know, you know, that you have accepted them. Well, I like that because that gives something, and I believe in those. I believe in all kind of signs and wonders. I believe in all things of manifestation. But put it in the order of the way that it is, and then it won't foul up. And then, I'm serious now. You study the prophet's message, you're going to find a lot of things that you read that this sounds different from that. Right? You'll read something and this will sound this way. In the same book, in just a minute, it sounds like he's talking about something else. But when it's finished, it all ties together if we allow it to be tied together. All right. See, then we come through giving the scriptures that we've been giving, you know, how that we have the earnest of our inheritance. And an earnest means a part payment. And we're all born again, 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. We're all just babies in Christ. You say, oh no, Brother Dale, I was born way up here because I had a great knowledge. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I believe the new birth is a sign. Sure, the amount of word that you have and understand determines how much you operate in God. Yeah. How much is God can use you? Yes. And things like that. But the point I'm getting at, the birth is the sign. All right? Let's get the baby born. Then we worry about the other. See, we've got to go through adoption. We've got to go through the stature of a perfect man. We've got to go through all of the growth development of Christianity. That's never, now I ain't saying, now you come in the message. See, you know yourself, you never heard about adoption. Oh, we talked about adoption in the Baptist church. But we just talked about adoption. We didn't know what it was. But we did know we were adopted into the family. I mean, I've heard Baptist preachers preach on how you're adopted into the family. You know, we preached a few things, but we didn't have the understanding of what it was to do. The prophet had to come and bring those things unto us. All right? But see, we have to have milk to grow. You give a baby milk. You don't give it meat. You give it milk, and it grows by that milk that it's brought, or the nutritions and things that's within it and all, and you turn out then to start growing. All right? Then as you grow, you know, it becomes a little more difference in your life, and some have a big appetite and some don't. We've told you about Josh. When Josh would be sitting there, and you'd be trying to feed him, and you'd have a spoon in one hand, in a bowl with his food in it. Well, this is the way you had to feed him. You had a pacifier over here. And you'd go, and stick it in his mouth. Well, as quick as you pull that out of his mouth, you'd pop that pacifier into his mouth. Because if you didn't, he's going to start screaming and hollering. Because he wanted to eat. Well, I like to see a Christian out of what likes to eat. You know, enjoy it. Have a good time. Okay. Now, but getting down to the point, we all wind up to be babies in Christ because everybody is born a baby. Okay? All right? And then we'll get to it as Brother Branham goes along in the adoptional series. I got a few laying at home where he talks about how, you know, you say, let's see, what did he say that one? You say, well, I was born again tonight, yesterday and today I'm going to preach. He said, nonsense. Now, that's his word. He says, nonsense. He said, because you don't do that. He said, come right off the bar, out of the bar room, put him up to preach. He said, that's not correct. See? Let him sit down. Learn a little bit. Get a little settled in the gospel. Then turn him loose. Don't put a novice. And I love that. I love the way the Lord Jesus does it. There's not a one of the writers in the Bible that was not present in the upper room. Now you have maybe a little argument over some of the little minor things, but still, just remember what I'm getting at. God don't use a novice to bring his word. He used someone settled in the word to speak that word. Because he's going to have to answer for his own word, and he loves to do it. All right. But now, let's get to the point to pick up what we're talking about. We're trying to repeat a little bit for the purpose of understanding. All right? Because we're all babies. And we all desire the sincere milk, Paul said, of the word that we may grow thereby. It's all by the word.
Right.
See? You notice that everything that I read this morning or our Wednesday, it'll say, and the word, and the word. Because the new birth is the birth of the word. Right? All right? Now, as I emphasized this morning on that, see, the new birth is the birth of the word. And that 3,000 outside, they had to hear a message. Because you can't be born again without hearing. Well, I didn't hear nobody. But I had my Bible. Well, that's somebody. You know, that was written by somebody. All right. See, then the point of all tried to get you to see is that baby, it needs the correct food to grow. You can give it the wrong food and it'll turn different. But you give it the right food. You want it to grow. And you want it to mature into correct children. All right? Now, in doing that then, if you'll get the simplicity of what I'm trying to say it over and over enough to where you hear it. If the new birth is the birth of the Word, then isn't the stature of a perfect man? Is that hard to understand? It's the birth of the Word. Adoption. Where Brother Branham says, we'll read it in a little while, he says, you're born the son. All right. We said, then you need adoption. All right. Well, there's any problem. That's just we need more Word. All right. See, that's why I said this morning, emphasize just a tad, that see, all of the whole thing, irregardless of what words you had. In other words, you started off with the apostles in the book of Acts. And a part of that group that was there were originals. And they had the adoption of that day. They didn't have the full adoption, but they had the adoption for that day and time. All right? And if they did, they could teach others. But it wasn't long until that way began to die down. It lasted till about somewhere into the fourth church age. All right? Then Satan began to take away until when you come into the fifth church age, you got Martin Luther with the just shall live by faith. Just barely getting started, but he got started. That's what I'm wanting you to see in a minute when I say it. So I'll say it now. Listen, what a wonderful thing it is. Now, Brother Collie, 70 years old. Maybe a little different. I ain't talked to him as long as I don't know how old he is, but 75. Well, you can turn dirt as old as I am. But Brother Collie, now it wouldn't matter, I'm making an illustration. It wouldn't matter what his dad done in life. He could be a murderer, he could be this, that, or the other, but it'd still be his daddy. And he wouldn't change his name. He would keep the name Collie. You know. And he wouldn't be ashamed of his dad that way. He'd be ashamed about what his dad done. Yeah. But he would still honor the fact that he had a father. You know what? Because one day he was a son. Yeah. One day James Collie was a child. A Collie come into the world. A son. Ever born again believer. Now listen, I'm making a statement that's going to take me 3 or 4 months to preach. Ever born again believer. If you're truly born again, you're a son or daughter of God. All right. You know what that means? We're heirs. Now we'll get to that in a minute in Romans. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So whatever they have, we have it. A son of God can't sin enough to be lost. That's going to take months. You can't sin enough to be lost. Brother Moat said that way. He said, everybody's always worried about this or that. He said, you can't sin enough to be lost. You know? You're not going to do it. God's going to take you off the scene. Right? Now, every child is born a child of God. If you have really the new birth, that makes you a son or daughter of God. Right? What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing has happened to us in the human race. That God has given us his life. He died for the purpose to release that life that you and I could become his children. What a wonderful opportunity. And to realize if you are truly born again, you can never be lost. You say, you mean that I can just go out and live like the devil? That means you never was born because you don't want to do that. Brother Colley didn't run all over the country claiming to be a Jones. He goes in the military, you know, what's your name, Jones? Well, we have here, the name is Colley. Well, that was my life. After he hadn't legally had it changed, so it wouldn't work. But listen, you getting what I'm saying? What a wonderful opportunity it is to be a child of God. To how God is your father. How great of an opportunity. What would you want any greater? I mean, if they came to me right now and said, what we want you to do, we want you to resign as being a pastor of a church, and we want you to run for president, and we guarantee you, you're going to get it. I'd say, go on back and forget it. Yeah, but we're going to give you the president. I don't want it. I would be degrading my own human thinking to step from this pulpit out into the world to become president of the United States. Well, if you become president, you can change law. don't go that away. Don't try to make a movie out of your life. Okay? You know what I mean? You ain't never seen a movie. We sit and watch this kind of on our thing at home, and we can see some of the old movies, you know, little short ones about Bible people, you know, Moses, David, whatever. And Nanny, she'll sit there and she'll say, well, is that scriptural? I say, well, in a way. You know, I mean, it's close in some things, but it ain't always right. But the thing of it is, see, it won't sell movies if you told the truth. Right? You think about it. If you wrote a book about Obama, and I'm throwing off on him, this isn't the name. Well, let's go to Kennedy. You write a book about Kennedy, you know, and boy, you make a book. If you told it like it is, it wouldn't sell. So you got to make him go over here, make this happen, that happen, and you rewrite the story. Well, that's what everybody wants in Christianity, but that's not what I want. I want something that I can enjoy now. Amen. I want something that I can have a good time in and I don't have to prop it up. I don't have to make it up and tell lies. You know. And when you feel so bad about it, me saying I've seen an angel two or three times, and you think, well, people, what do you think they're trying to do? I don't care what you think. I'm telling what I saw. What you think about it ain't nothing to me. That's between me and God. But see, that's that way I can keep it to where I want it. To be a child of God is the most wonderful thing that anyone could ever think about being.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because you see, I can drop down a little further. For them to come and tell me, say, you deny your doctrine of what you teach, and we'll make you president. I'd say, go hop it, buddy. Get gone. Because I wouldn't give up what I believe for nobody or for no opportunity. Of all the money in the world, it could be piled up. Mm-mm. Nope. See, to be a child of God is a wonderful, marvelous, supernatural opportunity. That you can believe in a God that can come down and deliver you from all kind of things. Like that man that we were talking about, Sister Julie, asking, I believe, wasn't it, about it? I heard it in there. That where he had like, what, 5 heart attacks? Massive heart attacks? Well, somebody prayed and believed, because you know how that went and get out of it. Well, you know, he's out of it. Hey, besides, she had never told you yet about her eyes. Did you ever, you never reported much about that, have you? About your eye to where you got hit and everything gone out of it. She had a testimony to tell. She needs to deliver that. Cause she got bumped and her eye went blurred. Now it's back right. Thank God. Thank God. You say, well, that just could have happened. Thank God for the happening. I don't care. Just called it happened. I love it. I love the fact of thinking about being a Christian. And you realize the entire Bible. I didn't mean to preach this. It's okay. You realize the entire Bible is yours? You don't think sometimes about, well, you know what? I have within me the Spirit of God. That I can see movies or read about these great things of David and things like that. Those mighty men. You realize the new birth that you have is the same God inside of you that they had outside of them. Because they were not capable of having him inside. He had not come yet. Oh, wonderful. No wonder. No wonder. A little small button. You remember that? And Brother Branham said that a Christian, to be a Christian, said it's like in your heart, he called it, which is the soul. He said, when God comes in and gives you a new birth, he said, it's like just a little button. No. Listen to what he's saying. See, the growth development of a Christian, watch what I'm saying now and the way I say it. These virtues, now listen to the point, listen. These virtues are in the soul. But they are made manifest out through your spirit. But they're a part of you in your soul. The growing is in your soul, not in your body and spirit. That can't be explained in natural because growing all over, right? But listen, a little white button. He said, let me refer to it like that. And said, it just starts growing and growing. And says, as it does, you remember how we read? He said, it's pushing out all of those things that are not needful. Well, I thought I was pure and clean. I thought the Holy Ghost burned. It does, but that's still you. Come on. Let's don't make it so big of a movie that we're it's all gone. Oh, bless God, if things gone. No. If the devil is trying to come back, do you believe that? That he's always tempting you and drawing you away and doing that? He's trying to come back and live in it. Well, you know what? If it wasn't for God sealing that soul, he would come back. So thank God that he sealed it. But what is it? What's the soul of man? I was reading this morning with Brother Branham. He said, what is a soul? He said, it's you. You. See, we want to look at it like some little inch square compartment inside of the heart. Well, that's all right. But just remember, it's not in the heart anyway. Because the heart ain't nothing but a thumping gizzard. The heart of man is the soul of man. It's just mankind trying to express it. Well, that's all right. But a little button. But it's eternal life. Well, see, here we go. Well, does that mean the rest of you is not eternal? No. Brother Brown said it's God and you together as persons. And there ain't no two persons of God. So it's God and you. You remember how we tried to explain coming out to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and how it burns out everything that's left within us. That's right. And God comes and lives. But when he comes and lives, he just comes into that little button. He don't fill everything up and throw you away. That's you. And that little button that's put in there is God. But everyone says eternal life as a little button. A man that could talk about eternal life in such a clear of a manifestation to understand what is happening within us. See, just get away from that fancy part. You know, get away from the movie. Get down to where you live. You know what? Quit trying to make a movie out of your life. I remember Zachary. Wade said downstairs that named a certain actor and said he probably died and went to hell. Well, Zachary didn't like that. Because he liked that fella. He didn't like for Wade to say it's possible for him to go to hell. Let's see. That's just the way things are. Well, let's don't try to make a movie. Let's try to be alive and be what we are.
Right.
And just think about it. And just see what we really are. That the very, very fact that that soul is you. The soul is not just a, listen. It's not just an inch square compartment. That's an illustration. The soul is you. All right. The body is you. The spirit is you. And without those three, you're not you. It's just the difference of where God dwells. He dwells in this human soul. Works back out through that, through your spirit, back into your body. The people see your body reacting. But they only see your body reacting and know it's what's taking place in your spirit. But they don't think about that's the real you. What is the desire of a Christian? To want to be a Christian. To want to live for God. Not to live for mankind, but to live for God. Huh? See, if it wasn't for those things, I'd just walk off this pulpit and sit down. My life is based on one thing. To try my best to get you to see the truth of the gospel. If I offend you for doing that, I don't mean to. I don't mean to hurt nobody. But I mean to tell it like it is, where we have an opportunity to be able to serve God and walk in the light that we live in. But he said a little button inside of you. Well, that's just, you know, that's an expression. To me, it just means, I could say it this way, inside of your soul, when you're born again, and I will get back to this, when it comes into the basis of the word faith. The new birth. Faith. Then you got to grow in grace and knowledge. Right? But you start by a little point of God coming to live inside of you. And then he begins to work on you. On the inside. He doesn't work on your body. He doesn't work on your spirit. He works in the soul back out through your spirit and into the body. Make it in the correct order. Then you can see your desires. You know, God honors your desires. He'll give you your desires. Even if sometimes it may be wrong that we won't. He will give us those things. He'll honor our point of wanting something. But you see, that little button starts growing. Look at the stature of a perfect man then. Faith is that little button. And it just starts growing, growing and growing. And as it grows, it pushes out. It just keeps pushing out. All right. I don't understand how a cow eats green grass, gives white milk. I don't understand that. But it does it in that body. Some way it transfers that and makes it work. All right. Wonderful. Now think of what I'm trying to say, because I'm trying to get to that point of coming down just a little to where we can take a little point and then wait, okay? Now listen. When you have eternal life, your soul is just as eternal as it will ever be. You don't get eternal life, didn't get eternal life, and get eternal. No. See, that's way in the people, the message today. Oh, yeah, you got a little something down here, but you got to wait till we get up here. No. That's the finish of it. But you know what it's the finish of? What you started at faith. You think I say so much about the new birth? That's where it starts at. It starts at that new birth. And it begins to grow. Just as a natural baby eats to grow. A spiritual baby eats the word of God to grow. Right. You say, well, but Brother Dale, I just can't remember like you. If I was asked right now, if it was asked for you to stand up and me to call out your name, I couldn't do it. He said, boy, I'm just honest. Time I got two or three named out, I'd forget the rest. Boy, you're stupid. No, I'm dumb. Stupid's another word. I can't remember like that. I don't try to remember like that. I don't try to remember the Bible like that. As I told you the other day, and you, Brother Donnie, done it this morning. You're quoting the Lord's Prayer. If you asked me to quote it, I would probably miss it. Of quoting it. Well, you sure don't know. I don't know nothing. But what the part of the word I need to know. I can always reach over in there and get it. And it'll come out, right? See, because it's what I dwell on. I don't dwell on memorizing the Bible. I dwell on trying to understand what it means to me. That's why, it's like I said, what is the new birth? When that prophet said, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. I never had no thought in my mind that I had to get some revelation of John 3:16 and all to be that. Sure, that's involved in the human life, but it is not the birth. That's why I tried to explain it this morning. That 3,000, they heard a message about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he had died for them to give his life. And they believed that was the birth. When they believed that, when they seen what he was saying and accepted that, there's the birth. If it was anything else, it was because of that. They were in the upper room in one mind and one accord. Right? Then the Holy Ghost fell. Right? See, church, we're just not looking at the scriptures in the way that we need to look at them. Instead of looking to try to figure them out, let's look at them to read and see what it says. When Paul says you're a newborn baby, well, I don't like that. I'm not no baby. That sounds like a baby. I sound like one talking. Huh? But when it comes to listening to the prophet, why did the prophet have to come? We already had the Bible. We already had the teachings of the scripture. We already had the things that was talking about that you're newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word. I've heard sermons over that in the Baptist church. Good preachers preach good messages. There's one in the scripture I don't like, and that's where it's talking about the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. I don't like to hear that preached on, because every brand new preacher that ever got in the pulpit in the Baptist church, he preached on that. That was his first message. The armor of God. Do this, put this on, put that on, put it on, put it on. And he never saw one said or no one word about this being the armor of God. It was just an armor you put on. It was this you done, and it was this you do that. And some of them had a good way to deliver it, and others had to. Okay. I didn't get along back there, so that's all right. You know, I asked a Baptist preacher one day, I said, how come are you teaching us that we're born again when we believe. When we didn't teach that, I said, wait a minute. Hey, I've been with you a long time. Now, you do teach it that way. You teach those things. It's just believe. I said, you won't even read the scripture that said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I said, you're intellectual enough to know believeth means continual. That it's not just to believe something. He said, well, I guess we did teach it wrong. But listen, church. We have in the new birth. It makes us the children of God. Sons and daughters, and I admit this much. Why it does it? You argue with God. It doesn't say in the Bible that you have manifested sons and daughters. So you know how that could go, wouldn't it? I had a question about kind of a little bit on something I said, you know, about things, and I'll get to it in another message. But it doesn't say women and men. It would always say sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But does that mean that the women are not led by it? I've defended that all along, and you know it. I've argued that point. Just because it don't say daughters doesn't mean they're not daughters. Right. You women are born again Christian. You are children in the body of Christ. You don't have to change to be a son. That's right. Just be a daughter. Amen. We have two sons in our family and one daughter. Let's just put it for what it is. Two sons, one daughter. You don't have to change something. The right of inheritance goes just as well to the daughter as it goes to the son. But in my point, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about one thing. Let's don't de-Christianize ourselves. But don't blow it away because we don't have an understanding. A born-again Christian, whether you be male or female, is a part of the body of Jesus Christ in the new birth. With eternal life just as eternal as the man is eternal. Right? Because that's the scripture. That's where it all fits. Then that doesn't degrade. It's just the fact of the way the Bible is written. I was reading this morning, I guess, or yesterday, last night, where Brother Branham was talking about, you know, things are set in the Bible in a certain way. But it doesn't, as I said, mean the way we read it. It doesn't mean there's only sons in the manifestation of God. Just because it doesn't say daughters. It's not saying that. We make those things to be those points for our own little benefit, you know. The truth is the truth. Okay, go on. But listen, when a child was born into the family in the Old Testament, and you know the story, we'll quote just a little bit of it and we'll quit. But in the Old Testament, you had what was called the adoption. All right? And that adoption was to the basis that you'd have a child. He would be given a tutor. And that tutor would raise that child to the basis that it could come to a point that adoption could come into view. All right? There's that big old word Wade likes at me about the bar mitzvah, however how you pronounce it. Bar, whatever it is. Okay. See, it's a signet or a sign or a time that you've reached, supposed to be the young adulthood. All right? And I admit that they didn't have adoption for the daughters. But were they left out of it? No, they stayed in the house. It just shows that the daughter had to have a head. So she stays in her home until she marries. And when she marries, her husband comes her head. That's all it's showing. It's just things in there that, you know, We need to get away from those, I said, movie versions and get down to the truth. All right. And thinking about it, a child. I mean, are you going to take that child and it's going to raise up and then you get up in life and after a while you decide you don't want the child no more so you can disinherit it or throw it out or whatever. And you say, I'll just cut you off. No, it's a child. Those that back there, they had to have signets and signs. You got the example of it. I said example because it's not totally true, but you got the example of Jacob. Where he got the coat of many colors from his father. You know, you can use that as examples of adoption. Really, Brother Branham is the only one that I ever knowed of, because I don't remember it when it was coming down, of anybody talking about the Old Testament with the word adoption. I thought it was a New Testament word. Brother Branham said it came through from the Old Testament. All right? And he said, that child born in the family, he said, it's a child. The day that's born, it's a child. He's full inheritance. Now listen, full inheritance as a child. Full inheritance as a child. You can't take away from them that right of being a member of that family. Because he's born into that family. Now, the inheritance coming on up is the growth development, yes. The Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham tells you over and over, be glad to give him. That what? That God adopted his own child. Because remember one thing. In the natural, you got its stages of development. But in the spiritual, God don't adopt the devil's children. So he ain't going to adopt you if you ain't born again. You're going to get born again first, or you ain't going to be in line to be adopted.
Right.
So if you ever want to think about adoption, worry about getting born again.
Right.
Make sure that that's settled and right. Then you can think about inheritance. I see Brother Branham will say, he said, you're born again. He said, but that don't give you no inheritance. He's not saying that you don't have the inheritance of being in the family. He's not saying the child from the time it's born up to the where it's come to that position that it's not a child. No, it is a child. And it's a full inheritance as a child. But it's not inheritance as an adopted child. It's a different thing to come into being. And see, we denomination, you remember, we never talked about adoptions and things. I said, I knew messages, heard it, read the scripture. I could read where Paul said, we're adopted. I knew in the Baptist church about the adoption to the point of the engrafting. The wild olive tree being engrafted. That was scripture.
Amen.
You don't go out here and engraft, bad apple tree into a good apple tree and expect to get good apples. You're going to get bad apples. You take the good apple and grafted it in to the roots of that tree to where that it can produce and bring forth. But you know, eventually it'll die away because it's natural. Somewhere it'll break down because it's just a story. Adoption is a story told of biblical terminologies of how that a child is born into the family. And then that child comes to adoption position. Right? Now listen, he gives us the tutor. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is your tutor. Gives you the new birth. That's your tutor. It's just like the man that has the child. He don't give the tutor to the child when it's brand new, baby. Come on, just get sensible with your thinking. When the child comes on up in age enough to be able to answer a little bit, I ain't got no age limit to determine. But I know you don't take a newborn baby and hand it over to the tutor. Now leave it with the mama. Be sensible. Then one day when that child grows up enough, as we'll call it the age of accountabilities, whatever you want to call it, then it can be given a tutor. God don't give the Holy Ghost to a baby, of a natural baby. You come to the age of accountability, then you're concerned about that part. Then he can bring you into the family. Okay. Now listen. You're a son when you're born. When you're born again, that makes you a child of God with eternal life, just as eternal as you ever will be. The adoption doesn't go into giving you eternal life. It goes into giving you authorities and things. Brings you to a position of where the growth development can come into view. All right? But the Reverend says, we call it adoption. He said, because in the Old Testament, when that man had a child, he said he gave him a tutor. He brought him up to a place to where that he could be trusted. Then he adopted him into the family and said, now your name is just as good as the father. That was a natural story. I know I'm carnal. I'm sorry. I know I stir minds, but I try to. Jacob had how many sons? 12. Is that right? 12 sons, Jacob. Okay, we got the number of it. Well, now, Reuben was the first. Well, now, if the story is correct, Reuben, when he reached the age that it could be done, he was adopted into the family. Coming all the way down. Finally, you get to Jacob coming forth and bringing all those children. You get to Joseph. And Joseph gets the coat of many colors. It just showed that his father loved him. Huh? It showed he'd come to a position that he loved him. He was a son of his old age. He only had one natural brother, Joseph and Benjamin. Huh? See, we look at something and we think, well, this is the story. The story has to be broken down. Because Reuben and all of those brothers, they got adopted into their family.
Right.
But here comes a special one with Joseph. Because he loved him. He was a child of his old age, as I said. He honored him more. He made him a coat of many colors. We can use that as adoption. But all the others were adopted too. You say, well, what are you getting at? I'm getting to one thing. We take the natural story. We can't use the natural story as a natural thing. We have to bring it up into a spiritual understanding. And then you say, hey, Joseph, he got the coat of many colors. He was adopted. Well, don't mean that the rest of them wasn't adopted. Because they were the natural children of Jacob. And had every right. Come on. You call it adoption. But just remember, when you get born again, you are a child of God. That's why I was reading Romans. Let's read that. I didn't necessarily give them that so we can, if they can get to Romans 8, we need to pick that up. I didn't give it back to them in that order. I didn't know which way to go. If you can get to Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? Now listen to your scripture. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're born again, you're led by the Spirit of God. That's what makes you a son of God. Right? Now watch. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you have received, listen, the spirit of adoption. In other words, you're born a baby. That's not your full stage of adoption. That's the earnest of your inheritance. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, and if children, then heirs. Look what the new birth gives you. To be a child of God, look what it gives you. Heirs of God, which is eternal life. Jesus never come to give us eternal life. He come to bring us to eternal life. Eternal life is with the Father. Amen. Jesus had to give his life to release that for it to come back. Yes. But Brother Run said it. He said, Jesus never gave you an inheritance. The Father is what gives you the inheritance. So you get the story correctly. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. You mean we are? Yeah. Because when our children were born into our family, that made them heirs. Your children that's born into your family, they're heirs. If you think this thing ain't right, you go to an adoption agency and find out what adoption means. You're going to learn a lot more than you think. I've tried to tell you about adoption to the basis that Anna and Richard could ain't going to do it and ain't work. They could deny Anna because she's their daughter and set her out. But they can never deny Thomas. Abby, okay. Abby Grace is a natural born child. Thomas, as an adopted child, has more rights legally by the law than as a natural born child. That's how much God thinks about adoption. It's brought into our government. Right? You know that adoption was really, if you trace it way on back, and I knew this in the Baptist church, the adoption was really back in the Romans days. It was inherited over into the religious side of Israel coming from the natural world. They picked it up from the natural world, the people that were around them. It was not a biblical handwritten, you go to do this, you go do that. You adopt. That's why you don't find the word adoption in the Old Testament. I'm saying this, I don't remember the word adoption ever being in the Old Testament. I don't know, I can be stand corrected now, but I'm just saying. I know it's not much because it's not an Old Testament word. Because it can't be understood. Because how would you explain Jacob with 12 children and only having the adoption of one child? No, you get adoption with each one. See, that's what I'm saying. Go to it and stay with what God has given to you and me. The opportunity for you and I to understand where we're living and what's going on. If children and heirs of God, now what? And joint heirs with Christ. Now, if that's correct, the new birth makes you a child of God just like Jesus was a child of God. Inherit to all things, equal in all things. That's something, isn't it? I mean, how much happy should we be? Go look. He explains it. And join ours with Christ. Yeah, he explains it to make sure you don't misunderstand. If so be that we suffer with him. In other words, if we get within us the soul of Almighty God in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're just as much join ours as Christ. And that's why it says, if so be that we suffer with him. It means if you are a child of God, you're a joint heir. But you've already got this part up here. Heirs of God. Eternal life. You remember Wade keeps bringing that out in the seal book, kind of? Word that Jesus inherited something by coming into the world. You know that the flesh, the body, the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ was not eternal. It had to be made eternal. And by being made eternal, he inherited. He inherited eternal life in the body. That's the only way that you and I will ever come to the position of a change of these bodies. Amen. Is to be heirs with Jesus Christ. He never died to give us an inheritance. He died to bring us to it. Our inheritance is eternal life with God before the foundation of the world. The church, what a wonderful thing it is to be the children of God. But what a wonderful thing it is to understand it. Brother Branham never come to change the Bible. He didn't change any of it. Say, this is wrong here. We need to put this here. That's wrong here. He made a few corrections, but those corrections were just a point of interest as a point when he'd say, this should have been the lie instead of a lie. That's just a point that the interpreters missed that positive point that it should have been as the lie instead of just a lie. Yeah. Church. Listen, to be the children of God. That's what I'm telling you. Okay. That's what I was trying to bring out. It's what I've tried to bring out in the past few messages. That how wonderful that God would come down and give his life to where he could relinquish, you know, release the life that was within him. That it could come back into you and I. Without that, we can't be the children of God. See, we're adopted in. Right? Because we were not natural born. The Jew, now listen, we'll get back to it if we don't. The adoption, Paul said, pertained to Israel. See, they were the children of God. And the adoptional right returns to Israel. But they rejected that right. They done as who was it? Which one of them back there? Esau sold his birthright. That's what Israel done. They sold their birthright. Their birthright was the adoption. Now listen, it even says, unto them belong the oracles. Which is the oracles is the word of God. The Bible. That's the oracles of God. That's what it means when it says oracles. This is the oracles of God. It's God in letter form. Right. And see, it belongs to Israel. But they turned it down. And by turning it down, as Jacob did back there, I mean as Esau did, Esau could never, even though he sought it with tears, he could never get that birthright back. Man, you call old Jacob, he was a shyster. Well, I am too. When it comes to this gospel, I'm a shyster. You know what I'm fixing to say, most of you. We used to go to Jeffersonville, there in 68, long right in there. And we'd go up there and they'd print a book for each meeting. Well, they'd print 500 books and there'd be 1,000 people there. I've stood in line at the tabernacle for 4 hours. Well, the family went to get us a motel, got us something to eat, and come back, and I eat standing in line waiting to get in. And that's after the prophet's done gone. Because I wanted the right to get there, but I also wanted something else. You remember me telling you? They'd start at the front with them books, and they'd have them boxes, and they'd hand them out, and the deacons would pass them out, and people. And they'd pass them out, like here, there's five people. They'd give them five books, and they would pass them down the aisle. I would just go down through there like I was looking for a pew, you know, a seat. And it was just, I'd be going along, you know, and I'd be doing it. And old Brother Collie, he'd reach down, you know, one of the deacons, reach down and get a pack of books to hand over to somebody else. When he did, I'd just say, thank you. And I would just walk right back up to the front like I was going to pass them out, which I mean, walk to the back. And I was going to pass them out to the ones that went with us. We never went to a service that we didn't get a book, that I was there. I'm a shyster. I'll do anything to get the gospel because I know what it means. I'm enjoying it. But what will it be when we get over yonder? Join the thrones upon the glassy sea. What'll it be like to be the children of God? If you're a child of God, you have eternal life. A confession is not a possession, but a real possession of a born-again believer. That soul is just as eternal as it'll ever be. And it's just as eternal as God is, because it is God. God joins into us, making that soul that we are eternal. Adoption goes on into, then as the children becoming heirs in adoptional form. Brother Branham will get to it with the Lord Jesus. On the River Jordan, it says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Type in the new birth to you and I. But over in about the 17th chapter, where is it in Matthew, where it comes over where it says, he appeared, you know, in the angels and the thing. And he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. He had reached his adoption. He had been adopted into the family. That's what it means to you and I. He went on to Calvary and his body was changed. As I said, he inherited, by giving his life, he inherited eternal life in the body. He was eternal life in soul and spirit because he was God. But his body was not eternal and had to be made eternal.
That's right. Amen.
But when it did, he inherited it. And by inheriting that body, he got me and you with it.
Right.
Because remember, he was standing down there on the River Jordan and he said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm pleased to dwell. He said, now, I've accepted him, paraphrasing, and said, he'll accept you. Right there on the River Jordan, that was proved who he was. He didn't become God on the River Jordan. He was born God. But he became then the ability to die and give me eternal life. He became me, I mean, came to us that we might become him. Come on, musician. Think on these things of what it means to be a child of God. What a wonderful opportunity to be the children of Almighty God. To be born in a family. I've always told you, if they come to me today, I've been a Dale for 79 years, and they come to me today and told me, said, you was a Jones. I said, your real daddy is. I said, forget it. My real daddy was Sam Dale. I don't want no Jones. Well, yeah, but if you'll be a Jones, we'll give you millions of dollars. Now, you know, you heard me say this before, and you think I'm lying, but come on, try it. They'd offer me millions of dollars to accept the fact that my daddy, Sam Dale, wasn't my daddy. That I was a Jones. I don't want it. Because why? Because I know what a Dale is. I've been a Dale. I know what it is to be one. I don't have to prop up and be a Jones to act like one. I'm me all the way around. Always been that way. I'm just me. I'm sorry. As a minister at all things, I failed in everything in the world trying to get you to see Jesus Christ. Well, that's all my goal. That's my daddy. I didn't get to know my real father. He passed when I was about four. I have no remembrance of him. But one day I found my real father. And I didn't have to change my name to get it. So it wouldn't be no need of changing my name now to get something else. I'm just what I am. A child of God. Being heirs with God of eternal life. Being joint heirs with Jesus Christ to make me a child of God just like he was a child. I ain't through. I ain't never got around to preaching all I see on the Godhead. So hold on to it. One of these days we'll start back over. Because you realize that man that was standing on earth is my brother. That man standing on earth was not God. God came in that man to live. Right? That's why he's my Savior. He's my brother. That was the only way that life could be released, that I could become a child, was for him to do the kinsman part, to give me his own life. But he had to inherit it first. That's why we haven't had the change of the body. Because I got two quotes I know laying on the desk. Maybe one with me now. Brother Brown said, what is that? He said, it will be at the first resurrection. When is adoption completed? At the first resurrection. Because you and I have got to be a part of the first resurrection or we don't go. The second resurrection goes to a place is called a white throne judgment. First resurrection, there is no judgment. So which one do you want to be? You want to be a child by the first resurrection? A born again Christian? Then accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and let him come and live in you. Yeah, but I just don't understand all that. It's simple. Do you believe Jesus was Almighty God? Do you believe that he come and lived in this world and died for you and me? Then accept that and say, thank you, Lord, for giving that to me. You mean it's that simple? Yes. Because then he can do something about it. Now, if you won't do it, he can't do nothing about it. He can't make you accept eternal life. But he can make it available. He can make it available. The Lord Jesus is the only one that went through death, burial, resurrection, eternity, ascension, and then returning back in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Think on these things. What we got? Go ahead, let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for saving me here. Right.
What have I done?
What have we done to deserve it?
Such glory.
We done everything wrong.
Thanks for that special night when I saw the glory.
What about it? Do you want a Savior?
Come face.
Or you don't want a condemner? Because we're going
to
have one way or the other. God is either going to condemn us or he's going to save us. He's here to save us and we'll accept him. But I don't know how to be a Christian. It's a very simple matter. Simply thinking in your heart and believing. Simply believing God done this for me. He died for me.
Such glory revealed.
It wasn't I was so good or this, that, or the other. He died for me. The Bible said he died for the sins of the whole world. He died for everybody. Just everybody wanted to see him.
Came face to face with eternal life. Lord, I thank thee.
You love me.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear
They put us in an opportunity to hear the word. What a good did you do that made him come to you?
Oh, thanks for that special night.
But remember something else.
When I saw your glory,
he looked down and saw something in you that he liked.
Face with eternal
right.
Life, Lord,
he saw something in us that he liked, or he wouldn't have chosen us. He saw even Judas had an opportunity. He was a great guy and everything. And he picked him, but he just didn't give him eternal life because he knew he couldn't go on. But as far as all the others, he was picked. He had an opportunity to be part of the ministry. Everybody else would have chosen that.
I heard recognizing your day. Serpa seed in perfect faith, the breach and the message of grace, Lord, I thank thee.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that we've had as an opportunity to talk about you. Lord, it didn't work out too good in our human terminologies, we know that. It never will. But we just pray that people have at least opened enough eyes to see that you accepted us. You gave us your life. The prophet said, see, when he accepts you, said he'll give you eternal life. But we believe it. And now let it be you that would come and live among us and want you to have for us all to be. Bless everybody on the way home. Take care of them. Be with the sick ones, the different ones, Lord. Be waiting them traveling back. Brother Bob and them's out traveling. Be with Luis and the different ones, our Lord. And just pray that the Lord would bless and just have your way with all of us. We love you and we thank you. Guide us and keep us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
For that special night, when I saw your glorious light, came face to face with eternal life, Lord.